the messenger of good news. Getting to catch up again with Dr. Dan Harmelink of Concordia Historical Institute for Historically Speaking. We've been talking with David Fiala for the last few weeks, but Dan is back in studio now with a pile of things to talk about, some new exhibits both at the International Center, something coming up at the Institute in May, and more on top of that. So why don't you start with what you want to start with.
Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning.
A ton of stuff is going on at Concordia Historical Institute, and so we want to catch everyone up on what's happening. So, first of all, we were pleased to open the new museum exhibit on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton. This is called Pressed into Service by the Word of God. It's a journey through the Reformation, and the Pressed into Service is kind of how we came up with that title is it features 16th century books, old coins and medals of the Reformation that were pressed into service, you know, the printing press, the coin press, to give witness to Luther and the Reformation and the rediscovery of the gospel. So we have, 11 display cases, hundreds of items showing how the Reformation took place and where did it go. And so we were pleased. We've had a good turnout. Hundreds of people have seen it already, but there's still a lot of people who I think would enjoy it.
Sure.
In the St. Louis area. So we want to invite everyone out. The normal hours for that exhibit are Monday through Friday, let's say 9 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I think people will be amazed at the CHI collection on display.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you've never been out there before, it's pretty cool to get the tour, not only of the museum itself, but then of the archives. If you've never seen what CHI does in preserving and what they preserve, it's a pretty neat thing. I took my family on the opening day, and all my kids definitely enjoyed it and asked lots of questions and got in touch with their history, which is our history.
Were they surprised when CFW Walther cut the ribbon and allowed everyone to go into
the exhibit? They came in later, so we missed the... I won't say who wears that head, but we missed that part. But they really did enjoy being there and got a kick out of it.
And I think it's good to mention, too, that this is not only for people who have a master's degree in history or Reformation theology. The Fisk family was there, and we tried to make it interesting or try to connect it with kids.
Well, just if nothing else, if you know even a little bit about the story of Luther's life, it just kind of follows that. And it's an opportunity to talk to your kids about that and learn something yourself and say, you know, why do we believe these things? Why are we Lutheran and not Catholic? Why are we Lutheran and not Baptist? And it just gives you a chance to talk about it, even in really basic terms.
Maybe some people listening are familiar with the Paul Meyer book about the Reformation. It's a picture book for kids, but not really for kids. So if you've gone through that book, I think you'll be well prepared to go through the exhibit and see these different areas. Again, the problem that we and the staff at CHI had, and again, the staff was just stellar as far as putting this exhibit together. You know, it took more than a year to put it all together. But the challenge that we had was not what to include, but what we had to leave out because we didn't have the space.
Right, right.
There's so much when it comes to the history of not only Luther and the 95 Theses, but everything that followed that. That, for example, we said, well, we don't have space to talk about John Calvin, or you know, have a case on Zwingli, or Thomas Munster, or the Anabaptists and things. So some of this had to be left out, but. It's just a very rich history, and as Lutheran Christians, I think this year is a great opportunity to not only say, hey, we're Lutheran, but to understand the gifts that God has given the church so that we can share these with the rest of the world.
All right. Well, if you don't know why you're Lutheran, why are you Lutheran? It doesn't make a ton of sense without holding to the theology that's behind all this.
Because our grandparents were Lutheran.
Yeah, not a good reason. Honestly, not a good reason. So we got some other stuff here. You got a new issue of the Quarterly that came out, and it looks like this one's got a story about coming across the water from Norway, a bit about the hidden theology of Oswald Beyer. He's actually a theologian I've really enjoyed reading in the past.
Right. We're trying to get more book reviews in each issue of the Quarterly. So these are book reviews on three, I think, important books. This Brian Thomas, Wittenberg versus Geneva. It's It's a big seller. And the main article here is about the first 30 years of the Lutheran Layman's League.
Oh, interesting, yeah.
And people know about the Lutheran Hour, but they don't know about the organization that basically got it off the ground and gave it wings. So the Lutheran Layman's League, in the first part of the 1900s, the Synod financially needed a little help.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lutheran Layman's League, bunch of guys kind of in a smoke-filled room said, hey, we need to help here as God has given us the ability to help. And from that began the Lutheran Layman's League. It was instrumental in KFUO,
mm-hmm.
instrumental in the Lutheran Hour, and continues to be involved on a variety of levels to, you know, give Synod a boost. So the first 30 years, it's just amazing. A lot of these organizations, I mean, in the early 1900s, there were a lot of religious organizations that were around for a while and then just faded away. And the Lutheran Layman's League, it was challenging for a while after they got their first hurdle, after they went over that first hurdle as far as helping Synod with the finances. And I think every religious nonprofit has this too. It's like, okay, what do we do now?
Right.
So God continued to use the Lutheran Layman's League. If you're not up on that history, the CHIQ, the Concordia Historical Institute Quarterly, just has it's illustrated with a lot of photographs. A great article by Gerald Pershbacher on the first 30 years of the Lutheran Layman's League.
So much of that challenge, what do we do now for any nonprofit, but doubly so for Lutheran nonprofits, is, well, why did we get together in the first place? And this would be an opportunity, if you are connected with the current LLL, which it's actually weak in a lot of congregations now. In fact, I can't think of the four congregations I've served, none of them had an LLL group anymore. Mm-hmm. The LWML was still going, but the men had stopped. Well, why? Well, to rediscover why to have one would be a good place to start to get it going again.
Exactly. We also want to invite everyone. We have not only a new museum exhibit at the CHI building on the campus of Concordia Seminary, but this morning we just put in a new display case at the museum at the International Center in Kirkwood, showcasing a Book of Concord. Now, CHI has multiple copies of this Book of Concord that was printed in 1580 that includes the Small and Large Catechism, the Augsburg Confession, the Schmalkald Articles, a formula of Concord. But the piece that's on display is the only extant, I think, copy left that actually the title page says Formula of Concord that was printed for the first time in 1580. Hmm. So if you want to see, you know, a rarity of rarities when it comes to the Book of Concord, when it comes to the Lutheran Confessions, this is now on display at the International Center in Kirkwood.
If you haven't been out to that museum down in the basement here at the IC, you really should. My family comes out to chapel every once in a while, and the kids always want to go back through that. They really enjoy that museum a lot. Now, you mentioned, and I kind of want to share this, that this particular title page has a unique bit of statement on it. Can I go ahead and read that? Is that okay?
Sure.
It's a little long, but it's like, this is the first page, the title page.
You might need an oxygen mask when you get to that.
The formula of Concord is the Christian healing benefit, a pure collation in which the divine teachings with chief articles of the true religion from Holy Scripture is a short confession or symbol and instructive writings, which was prepared before this time by the church from God's Augsburg Confession, accepted, approved, and tested, altogether enduring in God's word, rightly established, ultimately continued, explained, and recapitulated in the dispute, which, among certain theologians who profess the aforementioned confession, for the satisfaction of all according to the Holy Scripture, as the only guide of divine truth, and according to the guidance of God's church, accepted documents, the most gracious, merciful, also profitably ordered, ordained, and approved, according to the described electors, princes, and estates of the Holy Roman Empire of the German nation, Augsburg Confession, the same lands, churches, schools, and descendants to the comfort and greatest good in print produced. They just don't write them like that anymore.
That's all on the title page. Unbelievable. Yeah, whoever was in charge of that, whoever the publisher was for that, definitely took a little time to construct that title page. But again, we give thanks to God that through the formula of Concord, again, the truths of the Scripture were reaffirmed, and this clarified the direction for the Lutheran Church for generations to come.
We look at the Book of Concord a little bit here in the mornings, and then also Concord Matters every Tuesday at 2 o'clock. You can get deeper. We've got a pastor's roundtable always discussing your confessions. They are not so heady that a layman cannot understand them. Quite the opposite. They can be very, very affirming and clear and worth checking out on your own. Also, there is, of course, that Reader's Edition published by Concordia Publishing House. Not a bad thing to get your hands on.
They have a pocket edition, too.
Yeah, right? They do. So. They do. So, also coming up in May, which is a little ways away, but not too far these days.
May 9th, get out your calendars. Tuesday, May 9th at the Concordia Historical Institute. We're pleased to offer this year's Walther Roundtable. We've been doing this for 29 years. And this year we will be focusing on topics that touch on the anniversary, the commemoration of the Reformation. I'll be presenting on how CFW Walther discussed the Reformation from the pulpit. Dr. Manteuffel will talk about CFW Walther's reports about earlier Reformation celebrations. Then we have Dr. Richard Warnick, who is, I believe, in the process of coming out with a new help for pastoral theology, is going to talk about CFW Walther's pastoral theology and how that influences the instruction of pastors today.
Now, Concordia Publishing House also just released a new translation, I believe, of Walther's pastoral theology. I feel
I
like
think
I just
was,
saw that.
Lay. I think that was.
Oh, was it Lay?
Wilhelm
okay.
Lay. So,
okay.
But same period, right? On pastoral theology. So all of those are good books to see how were pastors trained, you know, in the good old days, and how does that relate to how they're trained today?
So, why should I learn any of this? What good is it? I live today. I got stuff to do. I got kids to feed. I got fun to have. Why is this important?
Right. Well, at CHI, we make the argument that you don't know where you're going unless you know where you've been, that the history of the Lutheran Church and God's grace in and among Lutherans is our compass to give us direction in this crazy, chaotic, out of control, spinning into death world. So a lot of people say, yeah, history's just dead and we have to move on to the things that are important today. And I think, again, when it comes to the identity of who are we as Lutheran Christians, that begins with understanding those who have gone before us.
Like you mentioned, it's the history of grace. It's the history of God taking care of us when we can't take care of ourselves. It's the history of the Word of God standing firm against cultures that rise and fall. Today, it looks pretty crazy out there. It may look like it's a bad time to be a Christian. No time has been so bad that it has ever stopped the Word of God from being what it is. My guest, Dr. Daniel Harmelink of Concordia Historical Institute, talking about, well, quite a number of things. You got the talks, Walther talks coming up in May. You got the new quarterly just came out. You got a new thing you got to visit at at the Institute itself on the campus of seminary, and you got a new display downstairs here at the IC in the museum here, Concordia Historical Institute, helping us remember where we came from as Missouri Synod Lutherans so we can know how to chart a course for the future. Thanks for being with us, Dan.
A lot of things going on. Blessings, Jonathan.
Amen. Hey, universe, you know how it goes, don't you? Well, you should. Our Lord Jesus Christ has done all. It's impossible for us to save ourselves, but He has saved us. That's our history. That's grace. That's what we believe. He has died. He has risen. He has ascended, and He's coming again. And it may not be today, and it may not be tomorrow, but in either case, we're all going to wake up together at the dawn.